Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Rex Road was with Kuharsky yesterday on Stillman & Company. And they caught up with former Titans quarterback Matt Hasselbeck, had a very interesting conversation about the Titans and Cam Ward. Here was that conversation with Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt, thanks for being with us. Very much appreciate it. Before we get into Titans and NFL stuff, I got to ask, what is the dynamic, OC, Tim, head coach, how has that gone? How's that going for you guys?
Yeah, it's gone pretty well, but my mom threatened us. She said, if you boys fight, then I'm coming down there. I'm going to grab you by the ear on the sideline. So we went preemptive strike. I'm up in the booth, up in the box, and my brother Tim, he's the head coach. He's on the sideline, so we can't get in any public fights. But we're in spring ball right now. We've got six practices. They let you take seven. We're just doing six because most of our guys play other sports in the spring. And yeah, it's good. We got our last one tonight. We've been working hard. We've got an awesome group of kids, great coaches, and we're excited for another big year.
No, your dad passed away recently and wanted to pass along our collective condolences. No, he was highly, highly respected by all his friends and in the football community. So hope everyone's doing well after that.
Yeah, thank you. We were shocked. He died suddenly, had a heart attack, and it was really crushing. He was in great shape, minus knee replacement knees from football. But, he was coaching our tight ends last year, and so we're going to have some plays in that he was always begging us to run last year. So big tight end offense from our team this year, and I let those guys know that yesterday.
That will be cool. Nice tribute. Let's shift to what the Titans have going on. What are your impressions of Cam Ward? How much have you seen him play, and what do you think about him as a prospect here where the Titans haven't had very good luck with highly drafted quarterbacks?
Yeah, well, as a prospect, obviously, I think he was like the unanimous pick for number one overall. Like, I think there was no one that was even wondering, like, are they going to, is he going to be the first pick or not? So, like, he's got the it factor. He's got the potential. You just got to go do it. You know, so many times guys that are taking number one or number two, they've got the potential and they don't get it done. A lot of times it's about fit. It's about timing. It's not the greatest of situations, if I'm being real, coming into the Tennessee Titans. It's just there's other teams that are set up for more success. You're on the moving walkway, so to speak. I think it's a little bit of an uphill battle here in Nashville. But that's not to say that one guy can't turn it around. And if you get the right play caller with the right quarterback, you can strike lightning, I guess. And, I think that that's kind of the vision here. When Brian Callahan got hired, they thought, hey, listen, he could run that Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals offense. We just got to get him with the right people. And obviously the quarterback is the one that they're trying to get right.
Yeah, Matt, we've talked some today about, speaking of lightning striking, Washington last year, of course. At this time a year ago, I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, yeah, the Commanders, they've really built around Jaden Daniels beautifully. That looks like that's going to be a great situation for the rookie. And, of course, we saw what happened with them. In your mind, obviously some of the signings turned out well for them. They had some talent. But how much of that situation do you look at and say that was just straight up Jaden Daniels elevating an average roster?
Yeah, I think that was a lot of it, but I think it was more than just that. It was more than just that. I mean, no one was counting on them, but I would say this. There were a lot of people last year, myself included, that said, do not pick Caleb Williams number one. He is not the first overall pick. And, there was some disagreement. My brother really wanted Drake May to be the first pick. There were other people that liked Jaden Daniels. It was like some discussion there. I don't think that's the case this year. I feel like Cam Ward is clearly the guy that everyone said, this is the number one pick. So that's one thing. I think the other thing is Dan Quinn did an amazing job with that defense. He got a veteran leader in Bobby Wagner that was kind of kicked to the curb in Seattle, then kicked to the curb again with the Rams. And he came in and had a Pro Bowl type year. And then offensively, Cliff Kingsbury reinvented himself, and he was ready the second time around. And that offense just clicked perfectly with Jaden Daniels, and then he stayed for the most part healthy. But I think everyone was definitely surprised by the success of the team. But I don't know that they should have been surprised that Dan Quinn had success and that Cliff Kingsbury plus Jaden Daniels had success. And I would expect that team to build on it. But to think that the Titans can be the Commanders next year, I think that's asking a lot. I think that might be a bridge too far in year one.
Absolutely, everybody expects him to start out of the gate, and number one picks in the league generally start out of the gate. Can you see any circumstances where they would hit the brakes on him and take the flack that comes with not having your guy be introduced on opening day?
Yeah, I wouldn't give it to him. Well, that's one thing I've learned. You know, I played 18 years in the NFL, and there's, you know, everyone does it different. You know, like, you can do this, you can do that. But there's some things that are non-negotiables. And when you hand somebody something and it's not earned, the locker room does not respect that. You know, like, I get it, fine, you're a high-round pick, fine, but you better earn your spot. And my rookie year with the Green Bay Packers, they were coming off of two consecutive Super Bowls. Mike Holmgren's the head coach. He came in day one. He goes, I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care how much money you make. The best players are going to play. That's like the stuff is over. The best players are going to play. You know, it's going to be merit-based. Now, he said, now, granted, I think Reggie White's probably going to be our starting defensive end. I think Brent Favre's probably going to be our starting quarterback. But I think you just respect that. And that's what I loved about a locker room. I love that about a locker room. And I think you do a disservice to a young player, especially a young quarterback, when you just kind of like, hey, you're the starter, hey, you're the captain, hey, you're the, you know, you have to, because, you know, everyone on, you know, on Twitter says so, because you were the first pick. Like, I make him go earn it. That's, I feel strongly about that. You know, Donovan McNabb did that. You know, Patrick Mahomes did that. Tom Brady did that. There's a lot of guys who didn't start week one, and some of them didn't even start year one. And I don't expect that for Cam, but week one, you got to prove to me that you know what you're doing.
Former Titans quarterback Matt Hasselbeck, Ensworth offensive coordinator, and handsome bald man Hall of Famer Matt Hasselbeck, our guest. How complicated does that get, Matt, if he doesn't quite earn it, but the alternatives don't exactly earn it either? The Titans don't have a Matt Hasselbeck to Jake Locker here. And so maybe he's not quite ready, but, you know, Will Levis isn't the greatest decision maker. Brandon Allen doesn't have a great resume. Tim Boyle, I don't really understand why he's here.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't think the league has given up on Will Levis yet. Like, I certainly wouldn't give up on him. Like, you saw what happened with Bryce Young. You know, he might still have a long career in the NFL. I think he tried too hard last year. I think he wanted it too bad. You know, if he could just eliminate five plays a game, I think he'd probably still be the starting quarterback. You know, but like that you could say the same thing about a golfer on the PGA Tour. If he just made five of those putts, he'd be Tiger Woods. You know, like, so I think that's just like the how competitive, how rare air it is. But no, like, even going back to when Andy Reid was in Philly, he started Doug Peterson as basically the pinata while Donovan McNabb was on the bench. Getting ready to play. Andy Reid did a similar thing with Alex Smith when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, and Alex Smith like rose to the occasion. I think he was the starter for the AFC in the Pro Bowl that year. He wasn't like the fifth alternate that snuck into the Pro Bowl. He was the starter in the Pro Bowl. He had that kind of a year. So like maybe that's what a guy like Will Levis needs to show, that he, you know, can reach his potential. And if that were the case, then that's not a terrible thing. But I believe Cam Ward will have every opportunity to win the job. I think he probably will win the job, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. This offense is going to be very different terminology-wise from what he came, what he's coming from. And so, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of time between now and September, but he'll get obviously first crack at it.
if he does win the job, are you wary of Levis staying at all? There are a lot of people in the fandom here who feel like he's a hot potato and like he'll be somehow a problem with his alpha personality, which you want in a quarterback. He was a starter. Maybe it's an uncomfortable situation. I think he's the second best quarterback, and unless you're getting a great return, you should keep him. But what do you think about the potential personality stuff there if, in fact, it's very clearly Cam Ward's team as things wrap up in camp or even earlier than that?
Yeah, listen, I see a lot of myself in Will Levis. I mean, my teammates at the end of my career called me Matty Nice because I was, like, really nice, so, like, a nice guy. I wasn't always that way. Like, my first year as starter in Seattle, I was competing with Trent Dilfer, and I could not stand that dude. Like, I did not like him, and we were teammates, and our wives were friends, and our kids were friends, and I was, like, rooting against him. Like, I didn't want him to do well. Like, and it was kind of like the situation that you're saying. And what had to happen, though, is I had to mature. I had to become a better teammate. I had to humble myself. I had to take, you know, a step back to take two steps forward. And basically just what I ended up having to do is, hey, get your mind right to be ready if and when Trent Dilfer ever gets hurt, because he became the starter and I became the backup. And I think that's the situation for Will and the situation that he's in. He's probably got to, like, learn to be the best teammate ever, learn to maybe humble himself, definitely be ready to play the next time around. He likely will get another chance to show what he can do, probably for a different team now. But, no, that competitive, I don't know what you call it, friction, Steve Young and Joe Montana would talk about it all the time. It's a little bit like fire, but you can also cook with fire. You can also burn your house down with fire. So, but no, I think there's something that you can use that's positive there.
Talking to Matt Hasselbeck. Matt, last thing for you. You mentioned the importance of the play caller quarterback partnership. You know, things didn't go well last year on any front really for the Titans. But from what you know, Brian Callahan, this scheme, first of all, what do you think of him going into year two as a play caller, as a play calling head coach? And also, do you think that scheme fits Cam Ward's skill set well?
I think the scheme does fit, definitely. I can really go. Brian Callahan never coached me. I do know him. But in my conversations with a guy like Joe Burrow, what he would say is, like, he loved Brian Callahan. He loved Dan Pitcher, the kind of like the triangle that they had there with, like, sort of quarterback coach, play caller, offensive coordinator, and then he had Zach Taylor also. So, and I think the word that Joe Burrow used at the time was he's a very unselfish coach. Like, he's not trying to prove how smart he is. He's not the kind of guy that, like, needs credit. And so, like, I just think, like, in my career, I cannot overstate how important the relationship was from play caller to quarterback. And then once I was on the field, the relationship from quarterback to center. Like, those two relationships have so much to do with your success as a quarterback, never mind a young quarterback. So, you know, I think that having Brian Callahan, I would say that's a great thing for a young quarterback. And I know that Joe Burrow would say the same thing.
That was former Titans quarterback Matt Hasselbeck on with Joe and PK yesterday. We'll react to that coming up next. Get your thoughts on what Hasselbeck had to say, plus another contract extension for Derrick Henry in Baltimore. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival featuring Willie Nelson and family, Bob Dylan, and more coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th. Matt Hasselbeck conversation with Joe and PK yesterday on Stillman & Company. Pretty fascinating stuff there, especially his thoughts on kind of Cam Ward, the scheme fit with Brian Callahan, and where things stand with the Titans. I mean, he said, look, let's not get it twisted here. It's not a great situation he's walking into with the Tennessee Titans. What'd you make of what Matt Hasselbeck had to say yesterday with you and PK.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the interesting stuff also, you know, the fact that you talk about Callahan and the scheme and the fit and stuff like that. A lot of, you know, obviously Matt Hasselbeck knows from personal experience the, and you hear it from so many quarterbacks, the, you know, the play caller, whoever that may be, and the quarterback and the relationship and how crucial that is. My beloved Detroit Lions. Can't love them more than any, you know, than I possibly do. I mean,
they're on the clock.
They're amazing.
Week one.
That's right. Little Lions Packers right from the start. But you know, Jared Goff discarded by the Rams. He's talked many times, and maybe he's going to fall off the table this year because Ben Johnson's now in Chicago. But the way he talked about it, clearly, like Ben Johnson, who's a good play caller, but also their working relationship was huge. I thought it was really interesting the humble coach thing with Callahan that Burrow, and that's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Again, does it mean that you're going to be a successful head coach? Not necessarily. There are some things, though, you hear that. And again, there are some things just about talking to Brian Callahan, listening to Brian Callahan, that makes me think he's got a chance to be a good coach in this league. We didn't see it last year. He also coached the flat-out worst team in the league. But other coaches, I think, could have gotten more out of him. So that's just a really fascinating thing. If he and Cam Ward connect, and Cam Ward can essentially, unlike Will Levis last year, you know, take it from the class to the grass, as they like to say, what does that mean? I mean, I think it's a really – I know some Titans fans, every time we bring up Brian Callahan, they're like, get him out of here. He sucks. I don't – I'd pump the brakes a little bit on being sure you know what he is as a coach. But this relationship, that dynamic is the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if it's good and, as the Levis defenders will argue, they'll also chime in, if there's blocking, if there's any sort of help whatsoever for Cam Ward, then maybe we'll get to see that you know, the Brian Callahan can do this.
Derrick Henry signs an extension yesterday with the Ravens, 2 years, $30 million. And the now 31-year-old running back in Baltimore for another couple of years here beyond this one. So, obviously, an outstanding year last year for Derrick Henry. He had 1,921 yards at age 30 last year. So, just kept right on going. I heard you and PK talking a little bit about this yesterday. And you threw out there, has he busted down the door for the Hall of Fame? I think the answer is yes. I think he is absolutely a Hall of Famer whenever it is that his career is said and done. But what do you make of, at his age, getting another contract extension? And how long do we think that Derrick Henry can keep doing this with that squad up there in Baltimore?
Great question. I'm not putting any ceiling on him anymore. Like Karski said yesterday, you know, at some point he's going to break down. Like, yeah, I agree. But maybe he is a Frank Gore, you know, who, I mean, Frank Gore, man, 16,000 yards exactly in a career that lasted 16 freaking seasons in this league, 2005 to 2020. I mean, it's
– at that position.
Yeah, at that position, it's absurd. So, like, no one thinks of Frank Gore as one of the greats, but his longevity has him in an incredible, you know, spot. I mean, he outrushed Barry Sanders, who's sitting there at fourth. I thought Vingan brought up a really – so I'm not surprised by the extension. I think it makes sense. Good for him. He's doing things no 30-year-old plus-year-old back has done in terms of that, in terms of the contract. But I also – Vingan brought up the idea of him – and I'd never entertained this idea. You know, could he have any chance at getting to that rushing record? He's less than 7,000 away from Emmitt Smith. And by the way, Emmitt Smith is about the 48th best back in the history of the NFL. Just want everybody to realize that. I mean, Emmitt Smith is – he's not a top
– the 48th?
He's not a top 10 back. I'll rip off 10 backs easily that are better than Emmitt Smith. Let me go real quick.
Easily.
Anybody a combo hater of Arch Manning, Tom Brady, and Emmitt Smith?
The goats. All the goats. Just throw them. Jerry Rice. You got something to say about Jerry Rice?
No, I love Jerry Rice. Okay. Jerry Rice might be as Michael good a Jordan. Football player as ever played. I don't hate. Like, here's the thing with Emmitt Smith. Who's better? Walter Payton? Yes. Barry Sanders? Easily. Adrian Peterson? Yes. LaDainian Tomlinson? Yep. Eric Dickerson? No question. Tony Dorsett? Yep. Jim Brown? Uh-huh. Who else you got?
Well, that's seven. You said 48th. So
Marshall Faulk.
Eddie George.
Marcus Allen. Franco Harris.
Bishop Sankey.
Derrick Henry. O.J. Simpson. I mean, he's way out of the top 10 now. Okay, 48th might be a little much. I might give him the edge over Ricky Waters, who sits there at 25th.
That's good.
But Derrick Henry, I mean, I don't think he'll get that. I don't think he's going to get Emmitt's record. But, like, he's only 3,000. I mean, he's like 3,500 yards, like Vingan said, from being fifth all time and supplanting Adrian Peterson. I didn't realize he was that close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you put up 1,900 yards at age 30, that'll do it, right?
That will help.
This is from ESPN, put this out there, but of the most rushing yards in a season age 30 or older, he had it last year, 1,921 yards. The next closest was Tiki Barber in 2005 at 1,860. Curtis Martin in 04 at 1697, and then Walter Payton in 1984 at 1684. So, I mean, he kind of annihilated the record last year for most rush yards in an age 30 or older season. Now, I mean, you do have to keep in mind, it is a 17-game season now, 16 back then, so there is that. But still, like, you're talking about a guy that does not look like he was anywhere close to slowing down last year. I thought he was going to get 2,000 yards again.
Yeah.
Well, the crushing question they brought up on DVD yesterday, I don't know if you guys heard, they were talking about if Henry continues on this pace with the Ravens, does some winning, maybe wins a Super Bowl, maybe gets to some of these, where does he retire? Does he retire a Raven or does he retire a Titan? And that was like killing me on the inside thinking about that.
What did D-Mace, D-Mace do?
Well, D-Mace is the one who brought it up.
Well, I know. I think D-Mace had a good run with the Ravens after he retired, things ended here.
I think he retired a Raven.
Yeah.
Is that a thing, though? That's a thing where you're like, I mean, I know people talk about
if the
Hall of
Fame. If he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Do you go in as a Titan or does he go in as a Raven?
Well, if he wins a Super Bowl, I think it's a gimme, right? Like, if he wins a Super Bowl, then yeah. But, like, what if they could win it this year. What if he wins it this year, but then he hits the wall, so he only had, like, whatever. You know, he gets an injury 2 years. Is that enough?
I don't know.
If he wins the Super Bowl, yeah.
Raven for life, RFL.
I'm sure that will go over well with Titans fans.
Yeah.
By the way, Adam in Portland says, hey, Joe, go ahead and tell me how much you hate Tiger Woods, Roger Federer, and Dale Earnhardt while you're at it.
I don't hate any of them.
Any other great players you'd like to hate on while
no,
we're here?
I don't hate any of them. Look, I mean, I have a personal thing with Michael Jordan because obviously I hate Chicago teams and I'm a Detroit Pistons fan, okay? Brady, I really don't – I don't have some hate for him at all based on team or anything like that. I just think, you know, I think there are other quarterbacks who should be in the discussion and the rings. See, people are like, oh, no, that's it. And – I don't hate Emmitt Smith, but who's going to argue with me on this? Emmitt Smith was a great player. He played behind, I think, the best offensive line ever with a Hall of Fame quarterback with incredible receivers. And I know he was a big part of that, but he's not as good as these top guys. Like, no one's arguing with me on that, right?
You have any thoughts on Gretzky or McDavid?
I do have thoughts on Patrick Roy and all those scrubs.
I can't wait for the text that always come in of, are you stupid? It's not Patrick Roy. Patrick Waugh.
I'm sorry, Patty Roy. Patty Roy.
Yeah, we know.
Yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of Brady, his former coach in the news again at North Carolina. We'll get into some of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. We will have Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes. At 7:45. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Before we get into Belichick, I want to read this from Josh from Lebanon. As a Cowboys fan, he says, I can't argue with you, Joe, on Emmitt Smith. Take him off that team. He doesn't get the rushing title. To me, he's somewhere between 15 and 20 in the all-time backs. That's totally reasonable. Yeah, I mean, obviously I was exaggerating at 48, but that's exaggerated. Tony Dorsett's better running back than Emmitt Smith was. I mean, like it's objectively true. And yes, there is a little bit of a hater element to this, only because if you live through that time, and obviously I was a huge Barry Sanders fan, there was always the comparison. And it's like, guys, watch them both play. Look at what they're both dealing with. Tell me that that guy's anywhere near that guy. And he wasn't. So I think most people have come around on that. And so I appreciate you, Josh from Lebanon, a level-headed Cowboys fan.
Viking Matt says, hey, Joe, what are your thoughts on Mother Teresa and Gandhi? Any thoughts on those?
Overrated.
Overrated.
Was she really that good?
Who cares?
Were they really great humans? I mean, good. Very good. But what tier of human were they, really?
ACC spring meetings going on in college football. And with that, some media interviews taking place. Bill Belichick sitting down with Brian Murphy, who is a reporter from WRAL News in Raleigh, North Carolina, and apparently sat down at the ACC spring meetings with this reporter, Joe, for a six-minute interview, and they got into, you know, expectations for the team and how the roster is coming along and the coaching staff that he's put together. One thing they did not talk about was Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, and her influence on the program. And apparently, according to Brian Murphy, this reporter, North Carolina asked that they keep the questions to football and that they did not bring up Jordan Hudson, his girlfriend, which Belichick earlier this week, by the way, on ESPN, Joe, said that she is it's just a personal relationship now and that she's not involved with football, but it is the personal relationship with Bill Belichick. Joe, your thoughts on North Carolina's new stance with Jordan Hudson, Belichick's girlfriend?
Well, clearly there's some stuff coming from North Carolina people who have gotten fed up with her. They're like, there's no question. You know, a lot of people are all over like Pablo Torre for some of the stuff he's had on his podcast. But, I mean, look, there are people in North Carolina who have pushed back on her involvement. There's no question. Now, it's really interesting because, to me, Belichick kind of like it's his little kingdom there, right? Like, they gave him the world to get him to come. But I just can't believe he's this soft. And the thing is, this is not the biggest example of his softness. The biggest example is his book. Now I wish this was my rant. But first of all, on the Jordan Hudson thing, remember, like, they did all this stuff on social media. Like, they have – yes, people would be talking about the age difference and all that stuff. But they – increase the attention. And again, maybe that was her influence or whatever, but the bottom line is they did it. Okay, fine. It's, you know, you're having fun with it. Have fun with it. Go to the award shows, all this stuff. But then, like, to think that, like, a TV reporter, you can't ask about her, that is so weak. And, of course, the TV reporter, I guess, to the credit, like, here's our interview. By the way, we were told we could not ask questions about Jordan Hudson. So you just, I mean, it makes you look worse than if you just mumbled some answer about her that you did to ESPN. But the book, it blows me away. He doesn't mention Robert Kraft by name.
Yeah.
How? He doesn't get mention at all any of the stuff, any of the controversies that he had with the Patriots. So, like, this is supposed to be an autobiographical book, right? And so you're just making it you're just completely whitewashing history, your history. And to me, if someone has those things, a book is your opportunity. Isn't the opportunity to, like, set the record straight? I mean, you could spin it, you could lie, you could say whatever you want. But that is your chance to tell your side of the story, right?
You would think.
So if you don't, are you not telling everybody, yeah, actually all that stuff's true and I'm just going to ignore it and hope no one ever talks about it again?
Well, especially that stuff. Now, the Kraft stuff, well, I think, is nothing more than him being petty about being fired, is basically what it is. That's the way that it ended. Yeah.
Like, if you're Bill Belichick, obviously a great coach, all that stuff. To me, when you write a book, you are trying to, like, find commonality with people, right? Well, people get fired. People have adversity. People have tough moments. People get accused of things, whatever. Like, this is a chance to take advantage of your platform and relate to people. But instead, I just think it's incredibly weak and soft, and Makes me think less of him.
Well, by the way, you were the head coach for 24 years in New England, 24 seasons.
Robert Kraft has made you rich beyond your dreams.
Well, just that's a quarter of a century that you're a head coach in the National Football League at one spot. And it's unheard of. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. So, yeah, did it end poorly? Sure.
It almost always does.
It almost always does. And frankly, like I do think, regardless of what he puts out there and his persona over the years, which has been, I'm not worried about all this outside stuff, he clearly cares about the way that he's viewed. And the way it ended with Robert Kraft bothered him. And frankly, he'll never probably say it, but Brady going on and winning a Super Bowl without him, I think bothers the heck out of him. And I think it's pretty clear with some of the actions he's taken.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But like, I don't care how bitter – like if people are going to buy this book, if I know as a Belichick fan, as a Patriots fan, if you're a Patriots fan, you're trying to sell this book to Patriots fans – and like, by the way, we don't even mention the guy who owns your team or any of the things that happened. I don't even tell my side of the story. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not touching that crap. It's beyond like a hagiography. You know, like Jordan's BS documentary. You know, he spins it his way and he rips Pippen and all that stuff. But at least he addresses all the things. You know, they talk a little bit about like his dad and the gambling and that stuff. You know, they at least touch on the different things. He has his spin on it. But again, that's at least he deals with it. Belichick just pretends it doesn't happen?
Yeah.
It's astounding to me. And now we're doing the, you know, don't ask any questions about Jordan, please. Thank you.
Well, and by the way, like it was not that long ago where they've made it pretty clear that she was involved with the football program and she was copied on every email. So, like, when you do that, it's hard to then go back immediately and say, well, don't ask any questions about her. It's like, well, you kind of brought this on yourself, so I understand this is the strategy that North Carolina is now trying to take. That's not going to work as they move forward here.
Right. Like, we have all this documentation of the involvement. We have video of her at spring practice
running around the field.
Stuff. Yeah. Right. So then you get into, okay, so did North Carolina say, hey, Bill, enough? That'd be a little surprising to me. I mean, there's people.
Clearly somebody did.
Well, there's people now talking about, you know, that buyout goes from 10 mil to 1 mil in 2 weeks. So keep an eye out. Is he fed up with that? I mean, I don't know. I'd be shocked if he didn't go through the season.
The first game.
I mean, I assume he has been coaching his team, right? And trying to, like.
I would assume.
Yeah, you know, they're national TV with the opener against TCU.
Yeah, thank God. Look forward to that. Well,
the thing is, though, I mean, I do want to watch it because I'm fascinated to see what a Bill Belichick North Carolina football team after this offseason looks like.
Well, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame beginning at 10:50, first pitch at 11:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, he's like, I want him to very slap violent. The fart out of you. I'm like, geez, calm down.
But I think you severely underrate Bush. The best of Bush is very good.
A charity event where someone dies. I still haven't gotten my Alyssa Milano cut out.
Hello, Mike. I'm glad you got hired, so I don't have to pay you anymore.
Yeah, again, we're trying to get ready for Tennessee, and you know all that other stuff will be dealt with at some other point. I mean, it is what it is. So I'm not really. Last week, we're on to Tennessee.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program.
What was the last thing?
That was you doing the Stillman and Company.
That was me doing the Stillman and Company? I was.
You couldn't tell?
No, because it was like, argh! It's more, that was not a good one. Let me see if I can do it well. Stillman and Company, 105-106 in the game. Is that just exactly
that
what
about
we
did? The that, same.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. I got a lot of work to Stillman do on and that. Company, 105-106 in the game. Oh, good Lord. So I want to talk about two Titans-related items today, okay? I mean, I could get into – I've got, again, people, you know, with the NBA draft lottery stuff. What was – oh, I got to find that one. Oh, yeah. So Ben's like, you know, yeah, the lottery is fixed. And I'm like, the worst in sports actually that people think that's even possible. His response – I'm basically my rant today is just ripping various texts on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Yeah, I know. Let me rip some listeners. But Ben says, I'd love to know how Utah had a 52% chance at a top four pick and they don't. And as you pointed out, and I wrote to him, so there was a 48% chance they wouldn't? Yeah.
That's a significant percentage.
That's a significant percentage. I mean, Dallas, 1.8%. That's low.
Yeah.
And again, the highest, I think, was 12 for anybody. So,
which we can have the debate as to whether or not that's the right thing. Like, yes. Should they be higher?
Yes.
But again, like, yeah, 48% is a significant percentage to not have a top four pick.
Yeah. The math thing today, you know, I may need to pivot to this a little bit too. I'm just absolutely going stream of consciousness. I mean, I lost PK versus Joe because Adam Vingan, who – I love Adam Vingan, and I have known since the day I started the Tennessean and joined him on a Predators trip out west 9 years ago that he is fantastic at math. Like, Vingan is just – he is sharp as a tack, and right? Like, he is going to find something. He knows the analytics, or he can find any little detail. So yesterday, because I said that I'm going to guess Restrepo makes the team, this was an argument. I said, I'll get put at 52%. Carson's like, well, yeah, it's 100%. You think he's going to make the team? And I'm like, no, I think 52% is going to make the team. I'm more than half believe he's going to, but I think it's very close.
Yeah.
So Vingan gave him the win because apparently if you say you think someone, then you're 100%. So Kaharski said he's not making the team.
Right.
And he said 28% chance that he does. Vingan, you have completely blown it. Like, I don't believe you with math anymore ever again. I didn't even intend for this to be the rant.
28%.
Then I brought that up
blew it!
I brought that up to Kaharski later. Really? He's like, yeah, you should have won. Oh, well, you didn't win.
I'm sorry, Archie. I still made it roast.
So, Vingan, I'm very disappointed in you. That you like if you're holding me to 100% that he is, then you have to hold him to 0% that he isn't, right?
You would think.
Like, are you with me on
this? I am totally with you on this.
God.
Now, Chad on the text line says Joe is not telling the story the way that it happened, so I can't confirm or deny that.
You listened to it?
Did I? Don't know if I heard that part.
I basically summarize it. What's wrong, Chad? What's wrong with what I'm telling? Vingan dinged me and gave it to Garcia because he believed that by saying I predict someone will make the team, I'm 100% that he'll make the team. What? That's absolutely absurd. And Vingan, you should feel shame. God dang it. Now I've lost the text that I was actually going to yell about. Now, here's the thing. This is I forgot it. I lost the text. But I will.
Johnny Technology strikes again over
God.
Here.
God. Here's the thing. This is the point I made on the text line, okay? And I think – if you hate Brian Callahan, that's fine. You can hate Brian Callahan. You can think he stinks and all that stuff. But here we go. I found it.
He's going through each text. I will find this text message.
So this is the text, okay? The texter, and unnamed. If you'd like to give your name, well, feel free. We'll say it on the air. He says, if Cam Ward succeeds, he will do so despite Callahan and not because of him. And my response to him was, he won't succeed if Callahan isn't good at his job, and I absolutely believe that. I mean, this is the centerpiece of Callahan's job, why he's a head coach, right? So this is what the texter comes back with. So Burrow, Stanford, and Manning were great because of Callahan's incredible coaching? No. Horrible take. Let me stop you right there. Who the hell said that? Cam Ward is a rookie coming into the NFL.
And Brian Callahan's the head coach, which he was not in any of those other places.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Denver, and he was like a helper. Like, right. What are we talking about here? Then he goes on and said, the Titans have seen him say so because Cam ends up being a guy worthy of one pick. Callahan will be riding his coattails. Callahan should have been gone for last season. Somebody that actually has a legitimate record of play calling, offensive development, should have been brought in. That last part, that's fine. If you hate Callahan, you think he's back up, that's all fine. Understand, if Cam Ward is good, There's no way that's happening just at the expense of Brian Callahan's incompetence. That's not happening. They're bad enough elsewhere that, like, to me, it's impossible. And I just disagree that, again, Will Levis was bad last year playing behind the worst offensive line in the NFL on the worst roster in the NFL. So, again, you can make that a Levis conversation if you want. But it certainly has to be part of the Callahan conversation, does it not?
You would think, yes.
I just no one's saying that Callahan made those other quarterbacks, but this is why the reason he got the job is because – I mean, he did work with Burrow. Now, I think Burrow's probably going to be great regardless. And, again, you can say give Callahan zero credit if you like. Listen to what Matt Hasselbeck said earlier about what Burrow said about Callahan. I put some stock in that.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dustin in Hopkinsville. Dustin, we got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, boys. Hey, so one thing about, or a couple things about Callahan, you know, one thing that bothered me last season, and you know I'm one of the biggest Will Levis fans, but I know it's a good business move to move away from him. And it's the Cam Moore train now. But it was like we come out, we'd be hot for like one possession, two possessions, and then we never adjust it. That bothers me. It's every game just about, other than the four touchdown game. And then guys like Spears and Chigakonkwo, these guys that looked promising the year before, just fell off the dang rails. Now, I am a true believer because the Titans organization has shown me in every way they can't develop quarterbacks worth a darn, that if Ward succeeds, it's because of him. If he fails, I'm blaming the Titans. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate the call there. Again, we get into this conversation a lot. Past quarterback failures, you know, you could include Levis in this, but if you're going back to like Vince Young and Jake Locker, like, to me, it doesn't have anything to do with the people who are currently in place. I know they play for the same team, and look, there are some bad organizations like Jets with ownership, and you know, the ownership structure was different when Vince Young was here and when Jake Locker was here, so it's a different thing now. I'm not going to say that Cam Ward is not going to succeed here just because he plays for the Titans. I don't buy into those things all that much. Unless you're Woody Johnson signing players off Madden ratings.
You're underrating the Adams family.
May have to. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Charles Robinson will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.